Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings and welcome to Mount Olympus. I am Hercules Invictus, and today on Legends of Hercules, which I'm co-hosting with John Carl Pepe, I'm greatly honored to be interviewing Rich Woodall, who's the creator of Gods of Brutality, which is in part a modern legend of Hercules. Now, Rich is a New Hampshire resident. He's an artist, a writer, and he's best known for his creator-owned titles, Johnny Raygun, The Zombie Bomb, Comic Anthology, and Kira Alien Jungle Girl, the series he co-created with artist Craig Rousseau. He's also worked with Image Comics on The Savage Dragon, The Perhapsonauts, and done thousands of sketch cards for Marvel, DC, Lord of the Rings, Mars Attacks, Star Wars, and Indiana Jones. And don't worry, he's still chipping at getting Johnny Raygun back on track. And I'm really looking forward to this interview. Greetings and welcome, sir. How are you, Rich?
I am doing great, Hercules. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And thank you for being on the show. We really love your comic. It had everything. It had an epic legend. It had mythic pantheon. It had a rock and roll god from our own era. And it harkened back to, like, the rivalries that Jack Kirby put into his comics.
Yeah.
What inspired you to do this?
You know, so I've always loved the gods, Roman, Greek, Aztec, you know, Egyptian. I've always been fascinated with mythology in general, and I'm a huge Kirby fan. The wars that Thor and Hercules always had. Thor was one of my favorite comics, especially the Kirby, Buscema, the Romita Jr. stuff. I loved all that. And every time Hercules showed up, it was just, you knew that they were just going to knock each other around and break things. And it was just going to be this epic cosmic battle. And I have this, my buddy Mark Welzer, who draws the book, for like, I don't know, 10 years maybe, we were trying to figure out what to work on. And we had a couple false starts where we would do about 5 or 6 pages of something, and then it would go nowhere. And both Mark and I are big Savage Dragon fans. And I knew he wanted to do, when we first started talking, he's like, I just want to do a book that's all fighting. You know, I just want to do all action, all fighting and stuff. And in the back of my head, I had always had this this story about kind of an Elvis-type character in hell, and all he did was fight his way out. And that kind of morphed into, well, what if the Elvis character was like an 80s rock god? And that morphed into, well, he probably needs help, you know? What if he prayed to all these gods and Thor and Hercules came down and helped him? It's like, you know, you have your two strongest gods who can't get along, but they're forced to get along. And that's really what it all came out of.
Well, that is awesome. I'm a big Kirby man myself, and I love the issues with Hercules and Thor too. And again, they fight for an entire issue over who's going to cross over like a river and a log.
Right.
It's just like the stupidest things, but it was always almost entire issue slugfest that absolutely led nowhere. And,
right. Yeah, in the end, they just end up drinking in a pub together or whatever,
yeah.
And it's great.
Yeah, the interplay between those
always,
two characters is amazing.
It really is, and I had always thought, you know, it – because in the next time they would meet up, they would have the same kind of problems where there's a misunderstanding and they got to fight again and everybody enjoys it. And I just thought, well, what if they're very much like brothers, you know, they're two guys, mm-hmm. they're from different sides of town kind of, but they have a kind of a kindred spirit that kind of unfortunately, or fortunately, kind of forces them together and makes them have to work together.
Now, you stuck with a very traditional portrayal of Thor, but you went with an unconventional portrayal of Hercules. And that's generally true of comics, because comics either stick with the ancient Greek statue, Peplum sword and sandal star Hercules, or they come up with their own interpretation. And you guys went with your own interpretation.
Yeah, the reason we did that was I don't know if you guys have read Savage Dragon, but Savage Dragon has a Thor and Hercules in it. And I was fortunate enough to draw in Savage Dragon 250, the Thor and Hercules backup story that Eric Larson wrote. And the Hercules in that is much closer to the classic mythology version. Thor, not so much, but maybe a little bit, but we were because we knew that a lot of our fan base is going to come from the Savage Dragon fan base. We wanted to kind of veer away from that. We also wanted to keep it away from the Marvel stuff. Just, we know there's going to be comparisons, of course. But we wanted to do our best to kind of stay away from it as much as we could. And really, like, the hair on Hercules was probably the biggest change. Seeing that it was kind of 80s, we thought, well, let's push, you know, their costumes towards that 80s. You know, everything's got spikes on it. And you know, the early 90s kind of early image stuff where it's everything's extreme and spikes are everywhere and you're going to cut yourself if you're putting on your costume.
That is awesome. And I know it's a miniseries. Are there any plans of continuing it past the miniseries? Because I'm enjoying this. I really don't want it to end.
Yeah. So the reason we're kind of doing that is a couple different things. It's, you know, it's four issues. We sent the fourth issue to the printer. There's you guys have probably heard there's been a big paper shortage. The fourth issue was supposed to come out, I believe, November or December. But because of the paper shortage, it's being pushed out till probably, hopefully, February, I'm hoping. That kind of wraps up the first arc of the story. We've got like six different trades kind of planned. But a big part of it is, you know, I've got a day job that I've got to do. I'm also co-publisher of Black Caravan, the publishing company that publishes Gods of Brutality, along with my partner Joe Schmalke, and I oversee a lot of the design work. I also illustrate and write the Electric Black for Black Caravan with Joe. I've got a bunch of projects, and I'm constantly, you know, balancing the day job with spinning the plates of the like four different comics that I'm working on. So I kind of have to, I do like one series, I focus on that, and then I jump over to another series and focus on that and try to keep all the plates spinning. But Mark and I do have a one-shot that's going to come out later in this year that it's called The Bloody Ring of Dracula. And it's basically going to be Dracula is driven out of Europe into Mexico, becomes a lucha wrestler, and that funny enough is going to lead into the next series of Gods of Brutality.
I can believe it. I can see it actually, and it's very Kirby-esque. One of the Eternals was a luchador, I remember correctly.
Yeah, we just, you know, this is one of those kind of books that we set out because Mark, it was funny, when I wrote the first issue, I was kind of sweating a little bit because the first, I don't know, six pages, There's no action. It's just it's the setup of the rock star in you know today, and everything. And I was worried that my artist was going to get bored and kind of give up after the six pages. But thankfully he stuck around for it, and he's done an incredible job. But you know, one of the things is trying to keep. We wanted to just do crazy action with every issue. And so we're constantly trying to come up with, like, what's the craziest, weirdest thing that we can have Thor and Hercules fight?
Mud witches.
And yeah, right, mud witches, exactly.
Russian wear ants.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite. I've got a buddy who he still doesn't get it. He's right now. He's probably going Russian wear ants. Why?
Why not?
Yeah, that's what I say. Why not?
It's amazing.
One of the things that I
and still able to churn out these great stories.
Oh, say that again. I'm sorry.
It's amazing that you're juggling so many things, including a conventional position, and still you're able to churn out these amazing stories.
Oh, thank you. It you know, it's one of those things where I've been doing it for so long, the balancing act, that it's kind of second nature. I've got a list on my desk right now of 32 different properties that I've either started working on or I want to work on. And you know, it's one of those things where there's never enough time in the world, but that's why teaming up with other artists like Mark, like Craig Russo, who I worked on Kyra Alien Jungle Girl with, like Joe, who I work on Electric Black with. It's good that, you know, I can kind of draw some things, and then there's other things that I can just write. And it's nice to be able to spread myself all over the place and kind of figure out, you know, what to focus on. But that's the problem, right? You can still only focus on so much.
I'm going to ask you back to talk about your Savage Dragon Hercules as soon as I become more familiar. I wasn't even aware of that. So I Googled it while you were talking. I found a website to talk about it. So now I have to quest for issues. And once I'm more knowledgeable.
Thor and Hercules have showed there's 250 plus issues. I think they're up to maybe 262 now. I'm bad at numbers and remembering things. Thor and Hercules have at different times showed up throughout Savage Dragon's history. But Robert Kirkman of Walking Dead fame wrote a mini series called, I think it's Savage Dragon God War.
Okay.
And I actually did. That was one of the first pinups in a comic that I got. My Johnny Raygun partner Matt Talbot and I, we did a pinup for that specific book, and it was Savage Dragon fighting Thor, Hercules, and a slew of other gods, and that was a lot of fun.
I will look for that one next, and definitely read it. That sounds right up my alley. John, I'm sorry, you had a question, and I interrupted it.
Oh, yeah, no, that's totally fine. It's just more just kind of, you know, wanted to talk or wanted to let Rich know some of the things that I really appreciated about, you know, Gods of Brutality on a few levels. First of all, as a tangible, as a comic guy, I love the cardstock cover, and I love the glossy pages.
Thank you.
That was a great choice for you guys to do, and to keep it, you know, at the standard $3.99. Makes sense that running into the paper shortage, you know, because you're using that high end paper, you know, it's going to cause those delays.
Right.
You were talking about your Dracula one shot. And how that's going to tie into the Gods of Brutality world. I want to commend you on your world building. One of the things that I really loved in the first issue, you know, is when Nick Dillon gets into hell and he's next to Carl and Carl, you know, relates to him the rules of hell. I thought it was a great way to kind of establish those worlds, rules of the world that you're building, in a very humorous way, of course, but
okay.
also, you know, you're getting the heavy lifting out of the way early. Like you said, those first six pages where they're, you know, you got to get that narrative heavy lifting out of the way, and you do that really well.
Thank you.
Especially being introduced to Nick, who, you know, at first introduction, you know, it looks like, you know, you're playing on the 27 Club riff, you know, famous rock stars who die at 27. And,
exactly.
But yet here he is alive and telling the story. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm a big fan of stories with the unreliable narrator. You know, now I'm questioning everything Nick's telling me, but I'm going along with the ride because it's such a great, you know, a great story, you know? So kudos to that as far as just that opening salvo in the first issue. Yeah, it's light on action, but again, you get a lot of the important information out of the way right out of the gate, and then people can just enjoy the ride.
Thank you. Yeah, that's one of the big things that, you know, because it's very action heavy, you know, I'm trying to be clever on how I can slip in rules here and there. And I'm glad you picked up on the kind of like the Nick, the present day Nick, you know, is he, I don't know if we can curse. I don't want to say anything here. Is he full of crap? or is he, you know, or did all this really happen? Should he have been in a mental institution? Like, what's the deal? So I kind of, at the beginning of every story arc, there's going to be, we're going to go back to the interview, and it's going to be about 5 minutes later than what it was leading up till midnight. And at midnight, we'll figure out one way or another, you know, if Nick's telling the truth, or if there's something more, or if there's not.
Nice.
And you know, we're going to get little pieces of information along the way to figure that mystery out. But that was, you know, that was kind of a subtle mystery as a writer that I wanted to add in there. You know, I think Mark Welzer, the artist, just wants to draw some people punching other people. So I have to balance it out a little bit.
Well, he handles all of it really well.
He does. He's amazing. I really enjoy working with him, and the stuff that he's working on right now for the Dracula book looks so cool. It's gonna be really neat.
Given the fact that it's a slugfest, for the most part, there's still a lot of character development. It's very nuanced. And that takes a lot of skill to pull off.
Yeah, that's the challenging part. I've never written a series like this where we're trying to I don't know if you guys are familiar with the movie Crank with Jason Statham. But it's you know, I think there's like 5 minutes of story in that, and the rest of it's just crazy him running, beating up things and shooting things. And I've always wanted to do a book like that. And but it is that challenge of like, hey, you can do a book of beating up things and everything, but there has to be some sort of compelling reason behind all that too. And so I'm glad you guys are seeing the value in that, because it's definitely something that I wonder, like, am I doing this right or not?
You're doing it right.
Yeah, well, third issue, yeah, definitely. Like, third issue has that great beat that we talked about last month, has that great beat where, you know, they basically have to tell Nick, hey, you got to start pulling your weight, buddy, you know, because
yeah.
you can't just, you know, can't be dragging you around, you know, and that's a great moment for Nick as far as growth, but also a really good moment for those characters that also, you know, like with Hercules we talked about, kind of resonates or echoes with previous interpretations where Hercules and you know, with other companies has, you know, had that sidekick or had that, you know, that young protege that he has to also mentor and kind of give that kick in the pants. So, you know, okay, you got to stand up for yourself now too.
Absolutely. Yeah. They're, you know, at this point in the book, yeah, they're dragging Nick around a lot. And it does feel like he's just a package that they've had to pick up and they're trying to deliver, but they don't quite have a clear idea of where they're delivering it yet. But that's definitely going to change as the book goes on. Nick will be less Maybe. Maybe not much less, but he'll be less of a carry-on package.
I can see this series becoming either a video game or a tabletop role-playing game module, because again, it's very action-packed. It's very unusual, but it fits into the standard conventions of those platforms.
Well, we actually, in addition to Black Caravan, Joe Schmalke, my partner, is also a partner in a toy company called Tracker Toys. And Joe does a book that's called Murder Hobo, and it's if you're familiar with Dungeons and Dragons or the role playing murder hobos, it's kind of a Rick and Morty comedy type book that's very focused on, I think it's 6 murder hobos. There's at least 4. I'm bad at remembering all the names, but. It focuses on a bunch of murder hobos that just go around and they do murder hobo stuff. Well, being that he is a partner in a toy company, they have a murder hobo, his comic, little miniatures for any of your role playing games. And I just sent in the artwork for Gods of Brutality, Thor and Hercules miniatures. So we're going to be producing those sometime later this year.
Oh, that is great. I run role-playing campaigns, Mythic Adventure, I call it, that are based in mythology. Since the sport originated back in the 70s. We've had a couple of Crisis of Infinite Earths type of things. You know, like the last one was the Time Wars. Because you get decades of story and it becomes too intricate, and the kids who started playing, like they now have kids who are their age, you know. But we refocus the story every now and then. Some kids are murder hobos, and I get to integrate these characters into a story.
Absolutely, So those will be, and they're gonna have little cards that come with the figures. I'll send you some pictures of the current murder hobo toys and kind of give you an idea of what we're doing. But they come in a little box that's a 2-pack, and they have a couple cards with them that list like the specialties and attributes of these specific characters and stuff. And so again, going to do something similar with Thor and Hercules, and should be pretty cool. I'm pretty excited about that.
I'm excited about that too. John and I collect Hercules and other mythical figures in the modern action figure and miniature incarnations. Oh, so that's definitely on the list now.
I love it.
My Marvel versions, but I have my Marvel Thor and Hercules figures staring at me right now as we talk.
Fantastic. I love those. This is so good.
Yeah.
Before we move on to you and your journey, John, do you have any other questions about the Gods of Brutality?
Yeah, you know, one burning question, man. I've been trying for, you know, what, almost 5 months now to figure it out, I think, since the first issue came out. The maze.
Sure.
Can I solve the maze, or is that a dead end?
I believe it's a dead end. Yeah.
It is a dead end.
Mark and I are both really big fans of kind of Silver Age and Bronze Age comics, and we always loved just all the extra junk that they would put in the back of a lot of these books. And so we try to, with every issue, you know, do something. In issue 4, we have a fake Hostess ad that's focused on Gods of Brutality. Starting in issue 2, we started doing little comic strips that, you know, the Gods of Brutal IT. Red Vengeance, which is done by a friend of mine, Chris Kemple. who's a fantastic artist and writer. He was nice enough to do a Red Vengeance comic in there. And then another book that I wrote with a friend of mine, Ed Smith, The Supertopian, which is kind of what if Superman lived in a retirement home and kind of has to do super things every once in a while. So we're just trying to add fun to every issue, give people a little bit of extra stuff to look through. The more kind of perceived value we can add to these things, the better. It offsets just all the fighting, I guess.
One of my favorite ones is the back cover, inside back cover of issue 3, the Gods of Brutality Metal Warriors Sales Club, and all these fantastic prizes that you can earn by selling something.
Yeah.
Coupon immediately, worms.
Yeah. For some reason, a pistol? Yeah, I don't know. The crazy thing is Mark drew all those things for, I don't know why he didn't just get clip art, but
he actually drew those. That's great. That's dedication. That's awesome.
Yeah. He really gets into it. And a lot of those kind of extra things are Mark just going off on his own and doing whatever he – whatever creatively kind of grabs them. He came up with the puzzle page and everything. And it's pretty cool.
Nice. I also wanted to talk to you a little bit about how each issue has the QR code where you can kind of get a soundtrack, you get a little behind the scenes information. I'm not the most technically savvy person in the world, so I have not actually tried them out.
But I will.
Just tell us a little bit about that. Especially, I'm really interested in the music. What are the music influences that went into this? Besides, I think some of the obvious, but what do you guys listen to while you make this?
Yeah, Mark and I are very, very different tastes in metal. He's always sending me over, hey, have you heard of this? And I'm like, no, I've never heard of that. He's into like the deep cut 80s kind of thrash metal. And I'm into more of the Misfits and Metallica kind of stuff and Black Sabbath. So it's kind of nice that we're kind of bringing all those together. But the QR code was something that that Joe and I had done a little bit earlier. We found that you could do a playlist on Spotify, and then you could hook up a URL to that playlist and share it out with people. And we thought, oh, that's kind of fun. We can share out what we're listening to, kind of make a soundtrack for the book. And when Gods of Brutality came around, I thought, well, this is a perfect match made in hell here. We can put all so basically we have a playlist for Gods of Brutality. It's 13 different songs. Mark chose half of them, I chose the other half, and we figured this is a good. We tried – so these are all very specific. This was Mark's idea. Mark's like, I want to do songs that relate to the first issue. So if you're reading the first issue, you can kind of, like, play along. It's not necessarily in order, but they all kind of in some way tie into the first issue.
Very cool. Yeah.
That is very cool. And I remember when metal started mixing more and more with mythology – especially the Norse mythology, and I believe that's true even today. Also, of course, with the underworld, that's been part of metal for a very long time as well. Mythology.
Absolutely.
Is there Greek mythology metal? I don't know. I don't think I've ever heard any Greek mythology metal though.
It's probably. I mean, I've got another buddy, Jay Kennedy, who. He sends me all kinds of crazy metal stuff. He's like, hey, have you ever heard of dwarven metal? And then I'll get like, a week's worth of dwarven metal. And then the next week it'll be pirate metal. And he's always got something kind of crazy that he's listening to that he throws at me. Sometimes it's good, sometimes not so much.
I'm really looking forward to exploring. We definitely have to have you back on because, again, you created a wonderful,
thank you.
Difficult universe with a really fun mythology. And I know we like visiting it whenever the issues come out. And now you've given us a lot more to look forward to. How did
Thank
your creative
you.
Journey begin?
So, you know, it's one of those things that's kind of always been with me, like the creative part, you know, from a really, really, really early age. You know, we were, I'm guessing you guys are probably about the same. I'm 45. You guys are probably around-ish my age, give or take. Okay, well, hey, I'll count that in my age group.
Okay.
We come from the pre-cave, you know, internet and telephone age.
Right.
I figure all of us are about the same age from that. But
I just turned 47, so yeah.
So I used to, I'd be at my grandparents' house, and my grandparents had this collection of, like everybody's grandparents, encyclopedias, right? I don't know if it was Encyclopedia Britannica or not, but I literally went from A to Z, and I would just sit in the corner all night and look through these encyclopedias. And the parts that I really, really loved were the mythology parts. And so reading about the Greek and the Roman gods, even at an early age, kind of realizing like, oh, the Greek gods are very similar to the Roman gods. They just have slightly different names, and, you know, there's little bitty different origins and stuff, but, you know, they're kind of similar. And, that got me into all of the mythology stuff. But the creative stuff, my grandmother was an artist. She did monogramming and she did professional sewing, so on old bowling jackets and stuff she used to do all those designs and lettering and stuff, and I would every once in a while she would have me help her not do any of the really important stuff, but she helped me or she taught me how to do some stuff where I would poke holes in paper and then she would rub this ink across it and it would go onto the jacket. And then she would sew on that, and it was anyway. And she took me to a comic store when I was really young. It was an old book. I grew up in Arkansas, and this was an old bookstore that was that has since burnt down and everything. But it had it was kind of a secondhand bookstore. It just smelled awesome when you walked in. And they had a comic section, and, you know, she'd always buy me a comic or two when I was there. From an early age, I loved comics, and when I was about 12 or 13, decided, like, that's what I really want to do. It's not an easy thing to break into. I'm not good enough to be in the Marvel and DC kind of level, but what I learned early on was you don't have to be to do these comics. You can kind of you do your own thing, and because I was such a big Marvel zombie fan, I was a Marvel zombie. I just wanted to do like. You know, the Fantastic Four is one of my all-time favorite books. And when I started doing Johnny Raygun, I just wanted to do my own version of all the Marvel characters and stuff. So, you know, we have a lot of homage kind of references to Silver Age stuff in the Johnny Raygun. That was my first big comic. That was my first creator-owned comic. And my partner on that, Matt Talbot, who is also a huge Silver Age fan. We kind of share a brain when it comes to a lot of stuff like that. That series was a love letter to Marvel Silver Age stuff with a modern twist. You know, we wanted to kind of modernize it all, but still, you know, give that wink and a nod to the older books that we love so much. But that's kind of where it all started, was doing Johnny Raygun and kind of going, well, if Marvel and DC won't hire me, I'll just do whatever I want to do. And it's taken me a really, really long time to kind of come to terms with that, because every once in a while, you know, you get this like, oh, well, I think I'm good enough now, I'm going to submit stuff again. And then, you know, I've got a stack of rejection letters from when I was 16 on. And you kind of have to have a tough skin to get through this. And again, like, it's taken a long time for me to go, hey, it's okay to not work for those guys. Like, I would love to work for Marvel and DC. I would love to do New Gods. I would love to work on Fantastic Four. But if I can't, it's not the end of the world. And I've got all these creative outputs where, you know, with the Electric Black, I'm doing some heavy horror stuff that's got a little bit of a science bend to it. Gods of Brutality, I get to do my version of Thor and Hercules. It's creatively very satisfying to do creator owned books, and I don't have anybody telling me what I have to do. You know, that's something, talking to my friends that do work for Marvel and DC, like, you know, they complain a lot because not, you know, they're not crying into their, you know, their oatmeal or anything, but you know, you get the, hey, we've got to do this because this is coming down from editorial or whatever. And you know, sometimes you don't have as much freedom as you could have on your own books.
And it's very heroic. It's part of the hero's journey that, you know, basically nothing can stop you, you know, from doing what you want to do, what your passion is, that even if you don't work for one of the big two, and maybe it's not because you're not good enough. Maybe it's because there's something in you creatively that will catch on to the popular imagination that would never come out. Like I doubt if we'd be talking now if you're working for Marvel and DC. We resonated very powerfully with the Gods of Brutality.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, it really has taken me a long time to be okay with it. You know, I think that just comes with maturity and you know, we're not making $1 million off these creator owned books, but we're doing pretty good. And, you know, it's very satisfying when you put out something that, you know, you had your, you know, I've got my fingerprints all over, you know, a lot of different books, especially with Black Caravan. Both Joe and I are hands-on with a lot of this stuff. And you know, we have other people in Black Caravan that do a lot of stuff. One of our head editors, Andrea Molinari, who writes his own book with his son, The Shepherd. It's a fantastic book. And, you know, we all kind of – We get to play in these worlds that we're helping to find. You know, we get a lot of submissions from people, and we like to keep our line pretty tight. So I don't think we're doing more than a dozen books a year, or a dozen titles a year, I should say. And you know, so we're kind of curating that, and we really want to make sure they're all books that we're excited about. And then in turn, we try to guide them as much as we can from our point of view, but it's very gratifying to do all these creator owned books. It's a lot of fun because really in the end, you have only yourself to blame if it's good or it's bad. You know, if the coloring stinks, well, I colored it. So you know, it's either good or it was done fast because we had to get it out.
Now, one thing I love about your journey is that not only did you set out to make your own comics, you and Joe made your own damn imprint. You know, you really took the bull by the horns and really won up, I think, a lot of other creators in your position, as far as, you know, wanting to break in, deciding, okay, I'm just going to do my own thing. And then they do the work. You're doing four times the work now because you're a publisher as well, which is, you know, very commendable and psychotic, but I think it's fantastic that you are doing that, you know. And yeah, the output of Black Caravan, some really solid books, and yeah, you guys really do, you know, you curate it well, and it is a very tight line. And as someone who works in a comic shop, you know, you guys definitely create buzz out there as well. So,
oh, thank you.
Keep it up.
Thank you so much. That's always good to hear. You know, we're only like a year and a couple months old, and we feel like we're doing some good stuff, but it's always great to hear, especially for, you know, somebody that works at a comic shop, to tell us that it's getting some buzz and stuff.
Yes. Sometimes I can't even get my hands on some of these books because people snatch them up before I get a chance to. So.
Oh, good deal. Well, if you ever looking for something, like, hit me up, and I've got a good direct line to all of it.
Awesome. Can you take us on a tour of your current titles?
Yeah. Let me kind of refresh my own brain. I have one of the worst memories of all time. It's horrible. So you guys know about Gods of Brutality.
We've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah, the headline book for us is The Electric Black. That's really what started it all. Joe and I, we took it to Scout. Scout published it for the first four issues, and at the end of that is when we kind of had the meeting with Scout and said, hey, we would like to do our own line of horror comics. And they said, yes, Electric Black's doing great. You guys can do whatever you want. So that's the main title. We have a free comic book day issue that's coming out this year. It's the first time that we're getting a free comic book day issue, so we're really excited about that. And then later this year, probably closer to fall, you know, Joe and I are stepping back from the art reins, and we're gonna hire some guys to draw it so we can focus on other books. So that's The Electric Black. We have The Shepherd that I mentioned from Andrea, which is – I'm going to do really short synopsis of these because I know we have limited time here. It's about a guy whose son commits suicide, and the father is pretty torn up about it and follows him into the afterlife, kind of helps guide his soul. It's really heavy stuff, but it's really, really good. The Perhaponauts, which is by two really good friends of mine, Todd DeZego and Craig Russo. That's a book that it started off at Dark Horse, and then it went to Image, and now it's with Black Caravan. That's about a team of cryptids that go out and find other cryptids and kind of solve cryptid-ish mysteries and stuff. We have Providence of Madness and Providence of Secrets, which Providence of Madness is kind of a love letter to Lovecraft, and Providence of Secrets is a love letter to The King in Yellow. So it's kind of building off of that kind of those two kind of mythologies. We have another book that is by a European team called Broken Souls Ballad, and it's kind of a horror version of The New Mutants, you know, these kids all have powers, and but they were, you know, they came from this really bad place, and I don't want to give too much away, but yeah, it's pretty dark. Kids, beautifully illustrated. One of my favorite books. The same team that does Province of Madness and Province of Secret also does a kind of a horror anthology called Tales Told in Technohorror. And that's just a mix of you know, whatever's on their mind at the time. You've got giant alligators, you got zombies, you got all kinds of stuff in that book. Let's see. We've got Phantom Starkiller, which is it's a series. There's Phantom Starkiller and Count Draco Knuckle Duster, and then this year is going to be Admiral Acker. And basically, Phantom Starkiller was a line of toys that Super 7 was putting out, and Joe was doing the blister package art for Phantom Starkiller, and talked to me and said, "Hey, I got this toy that I've been doing all these blister packs for. What do you think about approaching him about like developing this into a comic?" And I was like, "Oh my God, like, you're a genius. Let's do it." And so Joe and Peter Gorrell, who is a Killer Bootlegs, the creator of Phantom Starkiller, they went off and created this book. And that was, for the longest time, our number one selling book. It got a huge following. We have toys coming out for that. It's really cool. We've got a trade that just came out, I think this month. Maybe at the end of last month, called Black Friday, which is about, as you can imagine, a super center type store on Black Friday. But underneath the store, all this horrible energy from horrible shoppers has been kind of bubbling up and stuff down there. And it's just chaos. Let's see. My partner, Joe Schmalke, he had a book. He's got kind of a series of books that came out before we started The Electric Light. One of those books is his rock star who dies, or I'm sorry, I'm trying to think of his pitch. He is fantastic at pitches, and I am not fantastic at pitches. But basically, Cherry Blackbird is a rock star who sold her soul, and now she's got to kill a bunch of demons to save it. Let's see. Joe's got another book. Joe's pretty prolific. He does a lot of everything. He's got another book called We Don't Kill Spiders that I think you guys would really, really like. It's about a Norse, like, Viking investigator who's investigating these murders. And he has to hook up with a necromancer, witch, and so it's all in that Viking time. Everything's in the snow and stuff. It's fantastic. Let's see, Swamp Dogs. Swamp Dogs is a pretty cool title. It's about a rock band. Got a lot of rock stuff in here. It's about a rock, which is good. It's about a rock band that's kind of touring the South and stuff, and they run up against a bunch of Confederate zombie soldiers. Let's see, what else do we have? This is actually a video game from Hyperkinetic. You can get it on Steam. It's called Epic Tavern, and the editor, one of the writers for Epic Tavern, is one of our editors. He edits our Electric Black book and a couple other books, and so he brought Epic Tavern to us. And basically, it's kind of a Dungeons and Dragons crime unit kind of book, where they're solving crimes in that kind of Dungeons and Dragons kind of world.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, what else do we got here? We've got, so that's like last year. And this year we've got a whole slew of new things. I've got a new book that's coming out later in the year called Sergeant Werewolf. It's World War II horror. It has Thor in it. not the Gods of Brutality Thor, but a different Thor. We've got I'm looking at our spreadsheet here. Seeing what I can talk about, what I can't talk about. We've got one of the creators of Province of Secrets, Province of Madness, Tales Told in Technohorror. We've got a book called Rad Race, which is about an 80s skater kid who dies and comes back for vengeance. We got a cool anthology book that's coming up. I think it's in previews right now. It's called Pentagram of Horror, and it's going to be just a series of one-shot little horror stories, and it's just beautifully illustrated. We've got a book called Vanity coming out. I believe that's also in previews right now. Vanity is the story of Elizabeth Bathory, the Bloody Mary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's the true story. So it's that's going to be a 9-issue epic thing. It's going to be really, really cool. We're really excited about that. Also in previews right now is a book by David Byrne, who does Stake for it was at Scout. Now Stake is coming over to Black Caravan. And with that, David is bringing over his book. It's a one-shot book called Canceled, kind of about a TV personality from like that 50s era, the Howdy Doody kind of era, that's got a creepy slant to it that's going to be pretty cool. Murder Hobo is coming over from Scout to Black Caravan. We've got a book called what is the full name of it? I only have part of the name down. Sorry. Barleycorn. Gordon Barleycorn is kind of like if you were watching Adventure Time, but you smoked a lot of crack. it's a whacked out book. It's really, really cool. I can keep going on and on and on. We've got a lot of stuff coming up, but that's kind of the highlights of the some of the books that are coming and all the books that are already out now that are available. It's a lot of stuff, I know.
that's great, amazing. That is fantastic that all this is coming out. We will certainly do our part in helping you promote your line for the Legends of Hercules segment. Anything you have going on Hercules would be of interest for that segment. And John, who's co-hosting today, his show on the channel launches on Sunday.
Oh, it's fantastic. Called, I look forward to that.
So
cool.
We also have shows on gaming and other aspects of popular culture. So I'll let everyone know what you're doing, and we can take it from there. John, oh, it's John's birthday, too.
Thank you. Yeah, Christian Bale. Thank you. Yeah, me, Christian Bale, Dick Cheney, Dennis Cohen, the great Dennis Cohen, and Charles S. Dutton, and Gene Hackman. Can't forget Gene Hackman. So I'm in good company on January 30th.
That's a pretty good, it's a good lineup right there. Very nice.
You're great, Rich. The stuff that you put out there is amazing. Keep up the great work. I think both Hercules and I would love to talk to you. Definitely Hercules specific, but I'd love to have you on my show some point down the road called The Pep Talk. We'll delve a little bit more into your comic journey and the other stuff. So, I'll definitely reach out to you for that.
Absolutely. I am always down for it, and I really appreciate you guys giving me the time.
And we started a new series called Mythic Monsters. And we have both a podcast and a panel. So I would love for you to talk about your cryptid title. because it's yes. definitely something in our popular culture. It's part of our modern folklore and mythology. So you'll definitely get an invitation for that in the next few days.
Great. No, that would be great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
How can folks reach you? How can they enter the wonderful universe you bring into being that already has a multiverse?
Right. I'm on Facebook, Rich Woodall. I'm trying to think of what my avatar is right now. I think it's a little drawing my friend Craig did of me. It's just me kind of looking like me. I'm on Facebook. I know I have Instagram and Twitter, but I don't think I've checked them in like 2 years. So I wouldn't go there, not to interact with me at least. We have a website that needs to be updated, theblackcaravan.com. It's a little behind on updates, but you can get a taste of some of the books that we're putting out. Hopefully I can get around to updating that pretty soon. Those are the big places. I have my own personal website. It's a really, really long URL. It's projectpandoraentertainment.com. I couldn't think of anything longer than that, so I ended up with that. But that's got kind of a general taste of a lot of the books that I do. It's got a gallery in there. It's got a little shop so you could order some of the books. Again, that one needs to be updated pretty badly. I don't think I've put like the last two issues of God's Brutality up there. But those are the couple places that you can find me.
If you send me links to these in a PM, I'll add them to the promo for tonight's show, and then I'll put them in my Gmail box so that I can add them next time you're on.
Absolutely. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Before we wrap up, do you have any other questions, John, to ask?
No, I think I'm pretty good. Again, Rich, keep up the great work. I look forward to talking to you soon. Can't wait for issue 4 of Gods of Brutality, and then the Dracula one-shot, and then whatever else coming down the pike. Keep it up, man. Looking forward to it.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And I have one last question for the couple of minutes we have left. You obviously let nothing stop you from pursuing your dream.
Yeah.
A lot of people are afraid to fail. A lot of people are afraid of because they don't think there's a way to get to where they want to go. What thoughts can you offer to those folks who find themselves in that place?
That's a great question. You know what? It's a really hard place to be. And there have been plenty of times where, you know, I've got a family to take care of. You feel like you're kind of digging a hole and you're not getting anywhere. If it's something that you have to look at it from the perspective of, am I getting joy out of this or am I doing this for financial gain? I think if you're doing it for financial gain and you're not getting anywhere, then maybe you're doing it wrong or you're not, maybe it's not the right thing to do. But if you're doing it because it's something you love and you couldn't – me personally, if I was never making another dollar from comic books, I would continue creating them because I can't think of any other thing that I would enjoy more than doing that. And it is a pure joy thing. It's frustrating. It's hard. There's nothing easy about it, but I love it. And I love it with all my heart. And you got to kind of look at it for what reason am I doing this thing? And you can't let people tell you that that you're not good at it. I've had fantastic reviews of my work, and I've had people just crap all over my stuff. And what you have to get out of it is that it's their opinion. And you take from their opinion what helps you grow. And if if 10 people tell you you need to draw hands better, then it's a good guess that you probably need to draw hands better, you know. But, you take the good little nuggets that they give you and you keep working, you even work on the stuff that you're good at. but you really attack that stuff that you're not good at.
On that note, we have to wrap up because they're going to cut us off in a few seconds.
You bet.
Thank you so very much. And this is definitely to be continued. Thanks again. This was an awesome show, and I had a great time.
Thank you. I had a wonderful time. Thank you again for having me.
Okay, good night.
Good night. Good night.